Oh, you're right. We need a roll call before we do anything else. Madam Secretary, can you take the roll?
Grace Aaron, Gary Bost, Robin Collier.
Here.
Okay, Chris Corey.
Here.
Okay, Bill Crozier.
Here.
All right, Donald Goldmacher.
Somebody's
Jen
breathing.
Goodman.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Okay, Wally James.
Here.
All right, Dwayne Lark.
Present.
Okay, Martha Peterson. Ron Finchback.
Here.
Okay, Ralph Pointer.
Here.
Okay, Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Okay, Sean Rose.
Here.
Okay, Eileen Rosen.
Here.
All right, Mazur Sabah. James Agerton. Nancy Sorden.
Here.
Okay, Tom Voorhees. James, Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Okay. James Agerton, are you here?
He was trying to call a couple of people to get them back on the call.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 people on the call, Mr. Chair. Let me count again. 1, 2.
And Lydia's on the call.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15 people on the call right now, Mr. Chair. We have a call.
Which includes?
Okay. Is Mr. Tatum back on the call, too?
I don't know. Mr. Tatum?
Guess not. Okay.
I'll text him.
All right. We have a quorum.
James is here also.
Okay. Mark James is present. Madam Secretary, can you read the report out from the closed session?
Yes. The board passed the following resolution. Resolved that Arthur Schwartz be authorized to retain Adam Grant as local counsel when such is needed in California, and further, that Adam D.H. Grant, Esquire, serve as the California agent for service of process for the Pacifica Foundation, Inc.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I be recognized? This is Chris Corey. I'd like to move to extend for 30 minutes.
You'd like to move to extend the open session for 30 minutes? Oh, okay.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Is there a second?
Robin, we'll second that.
Okay. Let me just clarify that. Do you want to extend 30 minutes from right now?
No, from the end of the session. I think that'll leave enough time to take care of all of the remaining items.
Okay, so you want to...
So we won't have to meet next week.
Okay, the session officially should end at midnight Eastern time.
I'm aware
so you
of that.
Want, so you want to go till 12:30 Eastern time. Okay.
That's correct, sir.
We have a motion on the floor to extend. Are there any objections? Okay, seeing no objections. Then... That's it. We're extended for another 30 minutes. Okay. The next item on the agenda is a motion from Dwayne Lark about the KPFTX.org website. Mr. Lark, would you like to explain and make your motion?
Yes, sir. I believe this motion has to do with protocol, process, and some degree of predictability as to what the process actually is. And there was a mention by the IED that You do have access to her, but I believe this is deeper than that. It has to do with reporting who has access now, and I think the public should know that as well. What is the process for getting access, credentials to do so, and how and why does the system have the ability for one person who has access to go in and take down another person posting, which happened at KPFT just yesterday. And I think it's critical. I think it's significant. I think it's important. And if we want to go ahead and open up this can of worms even further, who owns KPFTX.org? Who holds the control of the URL designation or domain name? And moreover, what one or two or three individuals, I understand one of our employees of the foundation who really controls it, allegedly, I'd like to ask him specifically if he said it, but that he doesn't police the KPFTX.org website. Well, who does police it? And again, I would hope that the members would have no problem with the IAD finding out these questions that were asked and proposing a certain process that we use, and everybody will know it.
Okay, this is Grace for this, Jack.
Was there
Alex,
a second?
Are you muted?
This is Grace for this,
Jack. Yes, I was muted. I'm sorry. Do we have a second for the motion?
Second.
Okay. We'll take a stack. Who wants to be on the stack? Anybody?
Grace.
Bill.
Lydia.
Grace, Bill, Lydia. Okay. Grace, then Bill, then Lydia. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't think we should discuss the ownership of KPFTX because we may be getting into staff discussion. So I'm in favor of this motion. And I think it's very simple and not controversial, and I hope that we go as quickly as possible to a vote on it, I'll have to say.
Okay. Bill?
Well, as Lydia was saying earlier, and Lydia, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, it seems like this is a needless complication, that if there's an issue, why don't we just call Otis and ask him, rather than coming up with procedures and all this kind of stuff. This has been working for us for over 15 years, and I'm not sure what the problem is. I think I know what the issue was Duane was referring to yesterday, and it was about a unauthorized person posting a meeting, and that was removed and replaced by an authorized person posting a meeting on the same day with more details. So it's not like anything dramatic happened. It's just that the meeting was posted with an agenda and other details so that people know more about what the meeting is all about. But I don't see why we need a PMB motion to deal with things like this. And if you have questions, maybe we should ask Otis.
Okay, Lydia?
I don't have a problem with the motion. When I had spoken before, I said, just, you know, anybody can ask me first. It doesn't matter. It's all procedural. And I think I think that's the issue, is that the board just needs to know what constitutes an authorized person. Is it PMB, all PMB members? Is it all LSV members? Is it, you know, whatever? Is it certain number of volunteer staff who gets to post? I assume that was where this is going. That none of that is secretive. So I think it's good. We used to have that. I do remember that there was a process of who could post. And just as Bill just said, this was an unauthorized person. Well, we don't know what constitutes that. So absolutely, I've never requested anything from Otis that I, don't expect to receive a response to. So I'll just ask him what what the procedure is, share it with the board, and then, make a recommendation myself, but then ultimately the board can can say, well, that's not working for us for our meetings, because, again, this has to do with the board meeting. So I'm fine with that. I have no objection to this motion. I'm not voting on it, obviously, but I have no objection. It doesn't burden me in any way. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Are there any objections to this motion?
Yes. And I suggest you to ask Otis for his input.
Okay. Let's go to a vote. Madam Chair, can you take the roll? Madam
Mr.
Secretary?
Mr. Chair,
you can note
one objection if there's only one objection.
Thank you.
Are there any other objections besides bills? Okay. Note there was one objection. Okay, the next item on the agenda, so that that motion is passed. The next item on the agenda is, what is this? I see something called station and unit management control. I don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whose motion is that?
I wrote it. Lydia and I wrote it together. She suggested it.
Oh,
can I
okay.
read it quickly?
Sure. Okay.
Unless you want to read it, Lydia?
No, please go ahead.
Okay. As it is necessary and vital to ensure that the executive director and others always are able to contact the person responsible for the management of any of our stations or other units, therefore be it resolved that, in the absence of the general manager or unit director, that the general manager or unit director contact the executive director with the name and contact information of the responsible party for their station or unit.
What is that?
Pardon?
Can people please mute their phones? Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Hello?
Did you finish reading
yes,
the
I
motion?
Finished. Yes, yes.
Okay. Do we have a second? Do we have a
second? I have a question.
Let's get a second first before we have questions. Somebody second this motion so we can discuss it.
Oh, I'll second it. This is Eileen.
Okay. I think that was Ron. Ron, what's your question?
My question is I didn't quite understand the gist of it. I'd like to hear it repeated. I'm not quite sure what it's saying yet. The unit, if it could be explained one more time, it would be helpful to me.
This is Lydia, if I may.
Yes, please.
Okay. So in an effort to comply with what we need to comply relative to what's posted on the Pacifica.org website relative to the bylaws amendments, that, of course, this is the holiday season, so that was, you know, part of the issue, that you know, I received messages back from the general managers, understandably, that they weren't in the office till, let's say, next Monday. So that was this morning, right?
Okay.
And that kind of thing. So there used to be a hard and fast FCC rule, which I looked up, and it was that you had to have either a general manager or a member of management during all regular business hours and days. Also, because we have a public file where the members of the foundation or the public can come in and look at our public file, which includes our 990s, et cetera. And so you have to have someone there. But then when I looked it up today to get the exact text of it, I discovered, and I do need to have that, this confirmed, which is why this motion is kind of vague, is because then what I found online was that the FCC rescinded that because of all of the online radio stations and so on and so forth and smaller entities and whatever. So they modified it. They didn't do away with it, but they modified it. It was no longer other management staff, and it was, you know, far more reduced and really almost not present. So it's up to the entity, in our case to the foundation, to make sure that the executive director, you know, and if necessary the board, knows who the designated person is while, you know, you're on vacation. Everyone's entitled to vacation and to holidays and to extra time off and whatever. That's not a problem. But when I tried to reach people, it didn't go that well. but the point is that, you know, we all tend to leave and not necessarily say who's in charge afterwards. So it's just trying to oversee it. So it's stations and we have other units. We also have affiliates and we have, the archives, right? So this was something that was important because it was in conjunction with the court order that needed to be done. And so that's how this was brought to our attention. Otherwise, I don't think we would have known that rule had changed, but and we also, by the way, have union contracts that require presence by other staff and whatever, you know, 35 hours or whatever the union contract says. So there's all that as well, but this way it kind of covers it. Just, you know, send me an email and let me know that, oh, your PD is the person while I'm away, or both of us are on vacation, and it's going to be the engineer in case of an emergency also. So you never know. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the explanation.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on this motion? If not, let's go to a vote. Are there any objections to the motion? Can people please mute themselves who are not speaking? Are there any objections? Okay, seeing none, the motion is adopted. Now we go to committee reports. We have a motion from the National Finance Committee. Mr. Corey, would you like to make your motion?
Sure. So the motion reads as follows. The NFC recommends the following strategy for paying the interest on the big loan. Full payment starting December, with it in mind, not to use the escrow account for the remainder of the term of the loan. The NFC also recommends that the quarterly interest payments starting with December 2019 be apportioned by station membership as of December 1st, 2019, and revised annually according to changes in membership. Amendment. First payment should proceed. Should I call up the amendment later? Or actually, I guess I can just read this into the motion. Alex, I'm going to need a little guidance here because I don't do this very much.
What do you need assistance with?
Well, because this took so long to bring up at the PMB because of a number of issues, a number of timing related issues, the fact that it's worded as December requires a little bit of clarification as to when the first payment is acceptably received. So I can either offer that as an amendment to that motion, or I can simply add it as a point of clarification to the end of the motion. And I don't know which to do.
Well, I think you should probably just amend the motion as written.
Okay. I'm not clear how much authority I have in that capacity since this came from the committee. That's what I'm driving at.
I understand, but if you're just changing a date by a couple of months, I don't think it's.
Okay.
I don't think the committee will
object to it. I agree with you. Okay. So my addition to this is that the first payment should proceed on the earliest possible schedule, but no later than 30 days following the passage of this motion, and that payments are to be made into the existing escrow account set up for the big loan.
Okay.
I can motivate this if you want, but it is. Am I free to do that, Alex?
You may motivate. You don't need a second for a motion from a committee. You can go ahead and motivate it. Go ahead.
Okay. So there's a few aspects of this. Obviously, the interest payments for the loan need to be made. There's not sufficient funds in the escrow account to cover the interest payments through the term of the loan. So payments have to be added to that account in order to fulfill our obligations for that loan. So that's item number one. The timing of the payments isn't actually all that crucial because there are existing escrow funds to take care of the payments for a certain amount of time. I think the escrow funds are slated to run out towards the middle of next year. The reasoning behind the apportionment suggested by the committee, we went through four different possibilities as to how to apportion the payments. I won't bother discussing the other options. I'll just say why we reached the decision that we did. The reason we decided to use membership is it's something that the individual stations keep more close tabs on than other items, like, for example, revenue, which requires, some sort of financial audit and is also typically not as timely as the membership numbers. And there's a number of other ways that it could be done, but none of them seem to pass muster with the committee just because of the timeliness mostly. So that was the reason we opted for using the membership numbers rather than using any other possible scenarios for distribute. Oh, there was one other thing too. Membership numbers are one of the best reflections of a station's ability to pay. So that was another reason why we did it. As far as the actual funding mechanism for the payment, if we want to do it at a national level, there's been some suggestions for that, but that wasn't part of the motion. So that is that's the background on it. This was discussed in August and September, by the way.
Ron, to the stack.
Okay, I'll begin to take a stack. I hear Ron. Who else? Anybody else? I know we have other members. We have other members of that committee on this call. Maybe some of them want to weigh in. Okay, so we have Ron, yeah. Lawrence. Anybody else?
This is Lydia.
Jan Goodman for the STEC.
Lydia, did you want to weigh in on this discussion?
Yes, well, I wanted to ask a question. If someone could actually send me the motion. No, I'm not voting on this, but I assume that the discussions entailed the expectation of one-on-one of raising funds from individuals, not having to do, beyond membership, which I hope everybody's doing, and bequests, expected bequests, et cetera. And that then that's not being factored into this, only our membership, our limited membership in some instances. But anyway, so it's a question actually of the maker of the motion, of the committee chair. In other words, I'd like to have some context of what the discussions were. They were obviously lengthy, but what were some of the dissenting views?
Okay, am I free to answer that, Chair?
You may.
Thank you. As far as where the funds are coming from, the idea wasn't to solicit individual members for this, but just put out a general plea, either in a national fund drive or as part of general fundraising for stations. In other words, just make it part of the holistic approach that each individual station is doing to raising revenues. But there were separate discussions about how this could be done at the national level. And one of the most interesting ones was to do a national fund drive. Since there's approximately 50,000, 60,000, I don't have the number in front of me right now. The number I thought I had was 65,000, but it might be close to 50,000 members across the network. It would take less than $10 per member to cover the entire interest needs of the loan for the balance of the loan. So it seems like a single day national fund drive would take care of this issue if we wanted to do it lock, stock, and barrel. And that seemed like a really good alternative. But the counter alternative, there was, like I say, the committee hasn't actually suggested a fundraising alternative. This was just something that came up in discussion. But the way that we envisioned this folding out was that individual stations would just make this part of their normal fundraising activity. In other words, they'd be presented with a bill much in the way that they're presented with a bill from the national office right now for central services.
Okay, and that's the motion, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Ron.
Jan Goodman for the staff.
I got you.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Is it me or Ron?
It's me, Ron. Ron. All right. You're talking about monthly payments from the stations, correct?
Yes.
Now, most of these stations are already stressed, you know, financially. Was that taken into consideration when you guys came up with this formula? The ability of the stations to fulfill, you know, the objectives that you guys set out there. And on average, what is that monthly payment, going to be on average? And I know it depends on the station, but do you have is there a figure that you can give us now that you guys envision the average station could pay per month regarding this?
Okay, Chair, again, am I free to answer?
Yeah. What is the answer?
Okay. Okay. So the current payment, incidentally, it's a quarterly payment, not a monthly one. But the current quarterly amount, the last time I calculated it, interest rates came down very slightly, is about $67,000 or $68,000 across the network. Now, how that proportions out, if you go on the basis of membership, which is what the suggestion is of the NFC, then approximately 30% falls to each of the California stations, I believe. I can pull up the numbers here. I have a little spreadsheet that I constructed for it. KPFA and KPFA would be responsible for approximately 31%. This is as of September 1st, by the way. I don't have membership numbers any later than that. And then KPFK was 29%, KPFT was 8%, WBAI was 18%, and WPFW was 14%. Now, as you had a multifaceted question, so another aspect of that question was ability to pay. Ability to pay is typically associated with membership numbers, but I understand that some stations are burdened more than other stations. That having been said, it's also true that we don't need to get 100% of these interest payments in order to actually get through to the end of this loan. I'm not sure what I could calculate that exact amount. I think it's less than half. But the point is that if every station tries to get to these numbers, you know, if a bequest comes along, or if some fund drive is especially successful and there's extra money, or you can just factor it into your budgets if you're actually running at a profit, then those stations that can can do this, you know, should do the best that they possibly can, send as much as they can for these payments, and we'll, you know, just not being terribly optimistic, we'll make it through this. But as I said, there is an alternative to this, and that's that we could do a national fund drive to take care of this entire amount. This is just the backup plan for, you know, since the NFC is responsible for creating budgets for individual stations, this is to help individual stations budget for this expense.
Thank you.
Okay. Lawrence, your turn.
Thank you. Jan Goodman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, did you have Jan Goodman on the stack?
I have you on the stack, Ms. Goodman.
Thank you very much.
How much time have you done this, Matt?
Okay.
Committee reports are 20 minutes.
Okay.
Can I go now? Chris, thank you for your work on this. I'm finding some difficulty following which are motions and which ones are reports. Is there any way you could send that to the board on this record, get a better understanding of what you're reporting?
Okay. First of all, I'm not reporting anything. It was just a motion. And the motions were sent by Grace. They were added to the agenda. So what is it that you're suggesting that I should report?
I must have oversaw it. I didn't see it. I didn't see on the agenda, on the open session agenda, your motions.
Okay, yeah, it was in the last version that Grace sent. So it would have been... I think it went out at about 9 Eastern time. Let me see if I can get an exact timestamp.
Well, 6:45. A 6:45. I see it
yeah,
now.
Yeah, 6:45. Okay. Right. 6:45. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
This is the
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. My question is, what happens if stations don't send in their money? Because we can make all the resolutions we like, and as Mr. Pinchpack noted, the stations are all already, you know, everybody's next to the bone, it seems. So what happens if stations don't send in their money?
Okay. There's two possibilities. One is that everything would if you're saying stations plural, as in all of the stations, then we would run out
any
of
any station. Okay, any particular station.
Hold on. No crosstalk, please.
Okay. I'm sorry, Alex.
I'm just clarifying the question.
Okay. So the answer to the
Mr. Corey, you may answer.
Okay, thank you, Alex. So the answer to that question is that provided that at least half the stations followed the procedure, we would make it through the end of the loan. The interest payments would be made. They would be made on time. There are sufficient funds in the escrow account to meet that obligation. If fewer than half of the stations met the obligation, or if each of the stations met less than half of the obligation, then we would run out of funds before the final payment was due. In that situation, there would be no alternative other than to run a national fund drive, I believe. That would be the only way that we could do it. But this is more of a, I mean, I guess this is within the auspices of the NFC, but it's also kind of a national programming thing. It's kind of a PNB issue because it affects all stations, and I'm not quite sure how to do the national fundraising that would be necessary to nip this in the bud if that's what we decide to do.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia, did you say something?
As I think I have mentioned before, is that I do plan two things. One is, of course, I'm still planning to do the national email. I just didn't want to bump into the station efforts, some of which were beautifully done, I might add. And I do plan to pursue a national on-air fund drive. And I have started speaking to some of the general managers, and I am about to schedule a meeting, monthly meetings with the general managers and unit managers as well, in order to put something together. If it's too much of a burden on the stations, you know, I can just have cobbled together with the national units, which would be archives and our affiliates, programming as well. That's another option, but definitely an on-air one-day fund drive that doesn't bump into all of the other station fund drives that we're having. And so that I'm already in the works. I'm going to do that regardless. So hopefully that will certainly help to minimize and to pick up on the shortfalls that exist from station to station in terms of central services and so forth. But I do think, I do favor this motion. One of the things that I discovered with auditors and is that they usually need a recovery plan, and they need something that's anchored in something tangible. So when even scheduling an on-air fund drive is still an intangible, as happened with the letters that I sent out back in 17. You can hope for the best and it can be wonderful, but you never know what's going to come of it. As opposed to, as this motion references, membership. That is something tangible that an auditor can say, oh, that makes sense. There's a basis for it. As you do when you have a budget and you go by what you actually took in and spent last year. That's something tangible. It can still move like a moving target, but certainly not as much as just hoping that a national fund drive will raise sufficient so as not to have to do that. So I think that this is a good start. And then if the other couple of things that we try materialize, then that will, you know, we can always amend this, minimize it, whatever. But more than likely, given our situation, it would require both regardless.
Hey, Ralph, I'm off the call.
Ralph? Bill for the stack.
Let's go.
Okay, you're off the call. Okay. Bill? Thank you. Yeah, I'll support the motion. I'm a little skeptical saying that only half the stations really have to pay the money, because it sounds like every station is probably going to think, well, let the other stations do it, and then we won't get the money. But I'll remember, you know, part of our fiduciary duty is to make sure our financial needs are taken care of. And we have not only the interest to pay, we have other debt we have to pay. We have debt to our essential service providers that we're not dealing with. And we have the big loan, the $3.25 million loan, and we still have absolutely no plans on how to pay that off. And so we need to not just be figuring out how little we can pay to squeak by on the interest. We have to address these other things too. So we need a lot more, we need to get serious about a lot of things, our finances, and not just figure out how we can pay for this little bit here and there. $70,000 or $68,000, whatever it is, every quarter really isn't too bad if all the stations can participate. But we also need all the stations to pay their central services every month. It's really important because we need that to pay our other essential service providers, or we're going to be even in more trouble. So we need a plan to do all of this. So I'll support the motion, but it's a start again. It's not enough because it only addresses the interest on the loan, and we can't pay the interest on the loan by not paying other things, and that's what I'm afraid that might happen. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. If not, then I want to say a few things about this. Did I hear somebody else want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say something, but you go ahead. It's James.
Go ahead. You go first, James.
All right. I just wanted to say to the last speaker that perhaps one thing we could do is reduce some of our expenses by not yanking our stations off the air in the middle of their fund drives and costing us thousands and thousands of dollars in lawsuits. He's so concerned about our spending and getting our finances under control, he's not contributing in those regards. Thank you.
Okay. Dwayne Mark.
Dwayne? Okay.
Yeah.
You're next, and moving. Then I'm going to speak last because I think we're almost out of time. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay. I want to echo what Jim just said with respect to the last member who spoke, specifically filing lawsuits that cost the foundation money to defend itself and to reduce the number of people who represent the people who may have abilities to go out and raise money is just counterproductive. So the words are hollow in terms of suggestions. A lot of talk, but no walk at all.
Okay, yeah, I'm not speaking in favor or opposed to this motion. I just want to say that in general, I am not at all happy with the work of the National Finance Committee this past year. They have failed to follow up with our accounting firm to make sure we get timely financial reporting. And when we do get financial reporting, it is grossly inaccurate, and the National Finance Committee has not done anything about that. So, frankly, I don't know what they're making, what they're basing their decisions on. And this is not meant to be a critique of any single individual on that committee, but I think the committee as a whole has simply avoided a lot of its responsibilities in this past year. And I speak as a former chair of the National Finance Committee. I think we have to get a handle on a lot of things, including how the formula for central service is calculated. Nobody seems to know, and nobody seems to know what it's based on. And the formula doesn't seem to have anything to do with the revenue situations of each of the stations or their expenses. So I think that there's a lot of thinking has to go back on the National Finance Committee. I also am very annoyed that the Strategic Planning Committee made various proposals for national fund drives throughout the year, none of which got any traction because of recalcitrance from the management of some of our stations. So, again, this is not to speak either for or against this particular motion. I just think the whole context of the work of the National Finance Committee has to be rethought. Thank you.
Can I respond to that, Alex?
Sure.
I'll just take under a minute. I would invite a lengthy and fulsome conversation about this. I think there's a lot of misinterpretation about what the responsibilities of the National Finance Committees are. And I would like to express that in an environment where I'm not put, I or the committee are not put on the defensive. But I would invite more authority associated with that committee. But the way the bylaws call it out, the committee actually has extremely limited authority. It can only recommend stuff to the PNB, and it only has a limited amount of review capacity in terms of station budgets. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you just said there that I would love to talk about. There's just not enough time to do it tonight. And I invite the discussion. I'm very interested in it. I'm very interested in the finances of Pacifica. I see a lot of limitations to what the NFC can do, and I would like to overcome those limitations if I could, but it's not within the bylaws to do that. So if you want to elevate the authority of the NFC, that would be awesome. But I felt like I've been beating my head against the wall most of the time. And in terms of the reporting, it's been extremely difficult to extricate these reports just due to the amount of catch-up that NEDA and the ICFO had to do. We didn't get an accurate or even a preliminary, like, year-end P&L for 2019 until the end of the end of November. So I'm not sure what it is that we were supposed to be doing without that information, but I would, like I say, I invite the discussion. So I look forward to it, actually. And yeah, I appreciate your former service to the committee. You'll understand everything that I just said.
Okay.
I think we're out of time. But let Ron ask his question, and then we'll vote.
Okay.
Ron, what's your question?
Yeah, in your proposal, in your motion, you're saying that once the assessments are issued to the stations, that then it'll begin making payments 30 days after they receive those assessments. Is that an accurate reading of what's in that motion?
Yeah, although I'm not sure I would use the assessment proper as the word. As soon as we have up-to-date membership numbers from each of the individual stations, we can determine the apportionment, and then the Pacifica National Office would get in contact with each individual stations with those amounts.
Okay, but then once they're contacted with those amounts, they're expected to come up with that money in 30 days.
Correct, but just to let you know, just to give you an example, the amount that KPFA would have to come up with within 30 days is $21,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's 2 days of fundraise for that station, so it doesn't seem excessive to me. But if it seems excessive to you,
you need to talk to the unit manager about that excessiveness.
I've talked to a few of them.
Hold on.
I'm sorry about the crosstalk. I'm sorry, Alex. I apologize.
Crosstalk.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The answer is to the stack.
There's no more stack. We're done. We have to go to.
I move that we postpone this until the future, the next regular PNB meeting.
I think we're out of time. Timekeeper, are we out of time or not?
We didn't have we're out. It's 12:36.
We have to go to a vote.
We have to go to a vote and then adjourn the meeting. Okay. Madam Chair, can you take the roll?
Okay. Putting on the financial motion. Ray Sarin passes. Gary Boat. Robert Collier.
Yes.
Okay. Chris Corey.
My name is Secretary.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yes.
Okay. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Okay. Donald Goldmacher. Jan Goodman.
Yes.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Right. Wally James?
Yes.
Okay. Dwayne Lark?
No.
Okay. Martha Peterson? Ron Pinchback?
No.
Right. Ralph Poinster? Okay. I think he left the call. Lawrence Reyes? Sean Rose.
Stay.
Okay. Eileen Rosman.
Yes.
Sursa Baugh. Not here. James Sagerton. James Sagerton.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm going to pass for now.
Okay. Nancy Sorden.
No.
Okay. Tom Voorhees? Tom on the call? I don't think so. Okay. Grace Aaron abstains. Lawrence Reyes? Lawrence, do you
no.
vote?
No.
Okay. Eileen Rosen?
I'm going to abstain for now.
Okay, James Sagerton.
Yeah, I'm going to vote yes.
Okay. So we're going to count up now. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 yeses. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 noes. We have 2, 3 abstentions. 7 yes, 4 noes, 3 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
For the record, I'm going to vote no.
Motion passes, 7 yes, 5 no, 3 abstentions.
Time is up for this meeting. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, any objection? Okay, meeting adjourned. Good night, everybody.